What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social platforms, wherever you see my face, at Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, wherever it may be, over at the Philly Pod. Thank you guys for tuning in to an episode here as we're going to put a bow on the Titans game, as well as get into a little bit of a preview of the upcoming game against the Giants, where your 11-1 Eagles have a chance to clinch a playoff berth. If you're new to the show, thank you for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews. Rate 5 stars. Each and every review helps our show move up the charts, help bring it to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans, NFL fans, football fans, whoever may be looking to check out a new Eagles podcast. So thank you guys for going ahead and doing that. Joining me, as always, my right-hand man with this podcast, with all the Eagles content. You can follow him on social media platforms at Stephen Conrad Jr. I think I saw him last complaining about the Sixers, which is what we're all probably doing. So if you want to go complain with him about whatever Glenn Rivers is trying to do with this team, go give him a follow on Twitter. He is Stephen Conrad Jr. Stephen, the Eagles, 11-1, still remain in firm control of the NFC's top seed. We don't got to worry about Dallas or the Vikings. Jimmy G just went down, so the 49ers take a hit now. The Eagles look like they're on a firm path. It looks like the stars are aligning to maybe potentially make it to the Super Bowl. How you feeling after that dominant 35-10 performance over the Tennessee Titans?
Well, first of all, I don't complain, all right? I wasn't complaining about the Sixers.
I was stating the
reality of that just pathetic franchise, honestly. But hey, this is an Eagles podcast.
We're Phillies fans now. We're Phillies fans now. Trey Turner, it's now Eagles and Phillies. It used to be Eagles and Sixers for me. Now it's the Phillies have overtaken the Sixers officially for me.
I know, man, and as somebody who doesn't really enjoy the sport of baseball, obviously we're both Phillies fans over here. Ever since the Bryce Harper signing, like, it has immediately made me somebody who wanted to reinvest in the team since I was a little kid. And I mean, honestly, like, it's safe to say he's probably the best free agent signing in the city's history, if we're being honest.
I don't know if
that's a hot take at this point. And I know they haven't won the World Series or whatever, but like, come on now. They have the arguably two best players in the world on the team now, right? At their positions, we should say. You know,
as far as like strictly free agents, like, if you want to talk about the Eagles, Malcolm Jenkins comes to mind. He's probably might have been one of the best free agent signings the city.
Yeah, but
has
Harper's
seen.
Like a mega star. He's
he's a star. He's not like
long,
Malcolm.
You know, like,
yeah. As far as star power.
I'm not throwing shade or whatever, but
no, yeah, you're right. As far as star power.
Matter of fact, man, before, like, let's talk big picture. That's what I like to do here. We'll touch on like what's happened, you know, over the last few weeks with this Eagles team. But I believe you told me before we got on here and recorded that today is the 2-year anniversary of Jalen Hurts becoming the starter. Is that correct?
Well, the 2-year anniversary of Wentz getting benched before Jalen Hurts as a rookie,
which is how this all started, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah, against the Saints. So December 8th, 2020 was when Doug Peterson officially announced that Jalen Hurts was going to be the starter quarterback, at least for the remainder of that season before Wentz asked out and all that stuff. And yeah, Jalen Hurts never looked back. And who would have thought that 2 years later to the day, we would have an MVP candidate who is strictly right now neck and neck with Patrick Mahomes as far as the stats are concerned, as far as the MVP race, as far as who has been most valuable to their team. To this point, it has been something to see. We're going to sing a lot of praises for Jalen Hurts in this episode as we turn this into a celebration of the 2-year anniversary that Jalen Hurts has taken over essentially this Eagles team. But before we get into that, shout out to the sponsor as always, DraftKings Sportsbook, with the NFL postseason right around the corner already. It felt like the season just got started and now we are almost at the playoffs. DraftKings has you covered with some exciting sportsbook offers, and for a limited time only, you can win $150 instantly. All you have to do is sign up for a new DraftKings Sportsbook account, make a deposit, and place a $5 wager on any pregame money line. And if your bet wins, you'll receive $150 in free bets instantly, in addition to any cash winnings from your original wager. DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable, and you can deposit and withdraw cash whenever you want. So be sure to go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today with the link in our podcast description. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Steven, not too long ago on that Packers game, I had a bet for Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, Quez Watkins, and Christian Watson to all score, and that was a nice little five to win $500 I hit on that night. So if you want a chance to win some big money, you got an idea of who's going to score some touchdowns or get stats, be sure to go ahead, take advantage of the offer, get that free $150 from DraftKings, and try and flip that into some cash for you. Steven, I wanted to make one more comment about baseball. Because of that last run, the Phillies run, you said you wanted to get reinvested. This last Phillies run, like before the season, obviously there was no reason to really watch the Phillies. But after that magical run and all the moments from the Reese bat spike to the Harper home run in the NLDS, like it was just, or the NLCS rather, I'm excited to see what's, now that I heard so many things about like Dom and them being cheap, or whatever the case is for the Phillies. Now that they went out and added more star power and brought in another pitcher and Walker from the Mets, man, we might be watching some good baseball for the next few years with Trey Turner here now for the foreseeable future in conjunction with Bryce Harper. So I did want to make note of that. But yes, as far as the Eagles are concerned, 2-year anniversary of Carson Wentz getting benched and Jalen Hurts taking over. We are on the heels of Jalen Hurts becoming the first Eagle to win two consecutive NFC Player of the Week awards. He won it last week when he rushed for over 150 yards, and then he won it against Tennessee when he threw for 380 yards. So it's literally a pick your poison offense. And of course, when asked how it felt to be the first Eagle to win two straight Player of the Week awards, this is what Jalen Hurts had to say about it.
I mean, it's cool. I know it. You know, it comes with a lot of hard work. I definitely acknowledge that. But I'm focused on the Giants. I'm focused on this week, and focus on, you know, preparing this week.
Stoic as ever, Jalen Hurts. Not a time for celebration.
I like that.
We're just
looking
ahead.
Stoic.
To next
I've never
week.
Heard you say that before.
That's what he is. Emotionless, stoic, and just looking forward to the next week to play football as they go for that that goal of securing their second Super Bowl title for the Philadelphia Eagles. And A.J. Brown against the Titans beat the Titans so bad that Tennessee had to fire their GM. They beat him so bad that the Titans looked at GM and said, "How did you let us lose this guy?" and then fired him. And John Robinson, the GM, isn't like he was in like, it's not like he had the team in a bad position. He's coming off back-to-back division titles. He has his team right now, well, had, I guess, since he's not with the team anymore, atop the AFC South right now at 7-5, and he's had a winning record in each of the six seasons that he was in charge. But once they saw what A.J. Brown did to them, 8 catches, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns, the Titans seen enough, and they turned around and said, "We don't like the direction of our roster right now. You need to go, and we need to go ahead and try and figure this out," as the Eagles reap our benefits of having of having AJ Brown. So after that Titans game, Steven, what were your immediate takeaways as you watched Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown connect all day long as Hurts continues this stellar 2022 campaign as one of the surefire MVP candidates thus far into the season?
Well, first of all, it was very, very refreshing to see that type of a passing game from this Eagles offense. Obviously, Jalen Hurts leading the charge there after that rushing performance. As we all know, whenever Jalen has a dominant performance on the ground game, it'll be used against him as a detriment to him as a player for whatever reason. But I don't think we've ever seen, like, in such a short span, 2 weeks, where a player can do it with his legs and his arms quite like that. Like, literally polar opposite games, polar opposite approaches, the same result, dominant wins. The Titans are a very good football team. Let's just get that straight. Their pass defense may not be the greatest, but they can stop the run. And for the people, you know, that think Jalen, you know, can't throw the ball or whatever, or he's dependent on the Eagles having an effective ground game to open up his pass, well, he proved you wrong. He came out throwing the ball, and he ended it throwing the ball. Nearly 400 yards, 3 touchdowns, like you said, 74% completions. And it's just the fact that, like, and obviously AJ Brown, the revenge game, you just kind of like, I actually tweeted this during the game, man. Doesn't it feel refreshing to be on the other end of a revenge game? I feel like it's always somebody we got rid of. Well, I guess this is now two different occasions now, right? So we got AJ Brown. Obviously, we embarrassed Ben Simmons. We embarrassed Carson Wentz. Mm-hmm. But it felt like in the past we were always on the other end of it, right? Like, they're like, remember Deshaun Jackson coming in here? He did it several times.
Yeah, you're right. Philly is always on the opposite end of players that they have gotten rid of and watched flourish elsewhere. So
Jimmy
to be
Butler,
on this end of it. Yeah, Jimmy. You know, yeah, God. Yeah.
I'm sure I'm missing people, but.
Yeah, that's a good point. We are used to being on the other end of it, watching, like, you know, the DKs and the Justin Jeffersons of guys we could have potentially had, as well as guys that the Eagles traded and watched flourish elsewhere. That said, man, it would have been nice to have them. But yeah, Jalen is abolishing all the narratives that said he can't beat teams with his arm. At some point, he's going to have to throw the ball, and I don't know if he can do that. And week by week, he is proving those detractors wrong. Hurts is literally setting records across the board. He became the first player ever to throw for 300 plus yards the game after rushing for 150 yards, first player ever to do that. And that is on the heels of becoming the first player in that game against the Packers, becoming the first player ever to rush and throw for 125 yards in the same half. So stockpile the awards, the milestones. He's won 2 straight NFC Offensive Player of the Weeks. He was named NFC Offensive Player of the Month of September. And with each and every award he brings, him and his agent bring to the table when these extension talks are going to happen in the offseason, man, it is looking like that $50 million deal is just going to go up and up and up. And these awards certainly help his case. But yes, for AJ Brown, it's nice that it wasn't only the AJ Brown show. Devontae Smith had his own as well. 5 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Brown and Devontae Smith became the first Eagles wide receivers to each have 100 plus yards in the same game since Deshaun Jackson and Riley Cooper in 2013. There's a name for you, Riley Cooper. And that was in the 7 touchdown Nick Foles game against the Raiders, I believe. Jackson and Riley Cooper both had over 100 yards. But yeah, but to watch AJ Brown, first of all, truck the ever-loving bullshit out of Christian Fulton. Like, everybody was screaming interference and all this. I don't think AJ fully extended his arms. I think that's why it wasn't called. Christian Fulton kind of disrupted his route and just got ran over and fell, and that's why the referees
record-setting amount of penalties on the Eagles. I've never seen a game like I've never seen that before. I'm not gonna sit here and blame the refs. We won the game. We don't do that over here. We're well above that. We don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah, a whole bunch of false starts. I think they had 12 total penalties in this game, and they overcame all those penalties,
which was on the offensive line a lot. And go figure, it's the same exact week that they had that whole, like, Christmas special album release, and, you know, the whole special with, I guess, was it Fox? I believe Fox.
Yeah, the commentators tried to say, like, I'm sure there's going to be Eagles fans that are going to try and connect the dots between the album and all these false starts and all this.
See, that's the thing. They do that because they think of scenarios like Ben Simmons being here, where if we saw him doing, you know, playing video games or whatever it may be, that he's not working on his jump shot. The reason we did that is because he never improved. But it's, you can't compare that to this Eagles offensive line when guys like Jason Kelce have, he's been the best center in the league. Lane Johnson hasn't given up a sack in however many, it's been like years.
2 years to this point.
Yeah, so like those guys are established. We're not going to do that. I mean, there's still going to be people that do it or whatever, but it's just, and I thought the commentary team was, what's his name? Greg Olsen, by the way. I'm trying not to like slander people too much because it's just like, you know, just trying to be respectful. But like, dude, he's a terrible commentator. Do you agree? Like, am I the only one that thinks he's terrible? He brings up his like high school football team that he coaches as if anybody gives a damn, dude. You played in the NFL. Point out those things. Like,
I think he has bad hair. I think he has bad hair is what it is one of his problems. Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, some people like him. He's not everybody's cup of tea. But the commentators are definitely trying to connect the two between Christmas albums and a whole bunch of false starts along the offensive line. So it is what it is. But yeah, the Eagles have proved that they at this point, I think they're the most complete offense in the NFL. I know Dallas has a lot going on, and you can look at some other teams, of course the Chiefs and the Bills, who are multi-layered as well. Because the Bills are a rush heavy offense all of a sudden. While Josh Allen deals with that elbow, but to show a team that ran for 363 yards, the most in like 70 years in Eagles history, and then to turn around and throw, to your point, for nearly 400 yards, it shows that no matter what your strength is on defense, the Eagles have a counter for it, and not a lot of teams can adjust and still play at a high level. And Hurts has been able to execute this offense, and everybody screams about the RPO, and it's a glorified version of the Wildcat. And without the RPO, what is Jalen Hurts? And there's stats out there that disprove that. But for the people that are trying to discredit Hurts' emergence this season because of the RPO, I think it's a more advanced version of the play action. Personally, and I don't think his surging performance this season should be discredited because of that. What is your take on how Jalen Hurts has kind of catered the offense to his strengths? How Steichen, because Steichen has been phenomenal this year in getting the most out of Jalen Hurts. What has been your takeaway on how Jalen Hurts has kind of orchestrated this offense through the first 12 weeks of the season?
Well, catering the offense to player strengths are things that is an approach that a good coach does in any sport. Can we just get that clear? I don't know how that became.
Not unless you're Glenn Rivers.
Yes, of course.
And you have Embiid on the 3-point line, and yeah. So.
Well, for the Eagles' sake, let's just think of a guy who didn't take that approach. Remember Chip Kelly? It was his way or the highway, and got himself fired, and he has been a garbage coach since. And the Eagles somehow managed to win a Super Bowl.
He was a good coach, bad GM. Good coach, bad GM. That's my take on Chip Kelly.
Good, not great coach. Good coach, not great.
Good coach, terrible GM. Yeah, that's where we're at.
Nick Sirianni is a great coach. There's the difference. Mm-hmm. Doug Peterson, great coach. But also, really quickly, you said a lot of things, like a lot of the critiques from the naysayers, right? Towards Jalen Hurts. There's a common theme here, guys. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but like, no matter what the scenario is, no matter what the criticism is, I'm not saying that they are meaningless criticisms or anything like that, but they tend to get proven wrong with this guy. It's just been the common theme with him. So, you know, like, look, this is the Eagles offense right now. It's catered to his strengths. I'm not trying to project too much, but you know, once he gets extended and he's here for several years, I have a feeling that the offense might look different in a couple of years as his game matures, and progresses, right? Because he's not always going to be this young, this agile and stuff like that. But with his work ethic, I wouldn't put it past him. And there's this guy who keeps popping up on my feed, and I wanted to respond so bad, but I'm just trying to stay out of it. A guy by the name of Dan Cilio. Dude, just give it a rest. Holy shit. Like, can you just say, like maybe, like, did Jalen do something to you personally? Do you see this garbage that he puts out there?
Yeah, it's
now
bad,
he's
man.
Trying
it's
to
bad.
Hate on Josh Allen. He's trying to hate on Josh Allen to make his Jalen Hurts point right, which, by the way, the point keeps changing. The point keeps fucking changing with this guy. He said that, you know what I mean, Jalen he pretty much said Jalen's a backup QB and that the Eagles are wasting this season with him. And now he's in the MVP race. Now he's trying to say that Jalen's game won't age and 10 years from now he won't be healthy and all this stuff. And he's like, oh, Josh Allen has the same problem. What are we talking about? So you don't want Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, who's arguably the MVP. You don't want Josh Allen, who's top five in MVP. Who do you want, Dan Cilio? Who do you
want?
His
most recent take, this is the one I'm sure you're talking about, is Jalen Hurts doesn't have a 10-year career ahead of him. No one does with that style of play. So I think he's trying to say from his standpoint, when you take all those hits, you're not going to survive in the league for 10 years. But to your point, Steven, you're saying that Jalen Hurts is going to evolve as a passer, take less hits over time, and we won't have to worry about that. And you can even look at the Titans game. How many rushing attempts did Jalen Hurts have in that Titans game? I don't think he ran at all. Obviously, that was part of the game plan, because the Titans had such a stout rushing defense. So the Eagles were like, we're just going to beat you up through the air. We know AJ's hungry to get going through the air, so we're just going to get him going, get Devontae going, and we're going to tear you guys up that way. But Jalen Hurts only had 5 attempts, 12 yards, and he had the touchdown, of course. So it's not like they're saying like Jalen Hurts relies on his legs and he bails out the run. There's a stern contrast from last season where he would bail the pocket too early, take off and run. I don't even think he even crosses his mind at all this year. The progression from 2021 to 2022 has been astronomical. I don't remember the last time, and people were saying before the season that he needs to take a Josh Allen type leap. I think he surpassed that leap. I think he's doing even more so than Josh Allen did in between his two seasons of growth. The man has 20 passing touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. 3 interceptions through 12 weeks. Do you know how hard that is? You know how absurd that touchdown to interception ratio is for a quarterback? That is, for Jalen Hurts, he throws 1 interception for every 119 pass attempts. Every 119 times Jalen Hurts throws the ball as an interception. That is wild. That is ridiculous. His ball security doesn't get talked about. I feel like the way he doesn't turn the ball over, the way he protects himself doesn't get talked about. And everybody looks at the passing touchdowns from Mahomes to Jalen Hurts, and they say Hurts won't have the stats. But when you're talking about strictly just like MVP conversation, these are the stats that Jalen Hurts is better than Mahomes in. Hurts has a better completion percentage, 68.1. Mahomes is 65.7. Mahomes obviously has more passing yards. He almost has 1,000 more passing yards. Hurts has more yards per attempt, and Hurts has 5 less interceptions. So when you look, and then you can compile all the rushing stats you want, Hurts surpasses Mahomes in every rushing stat. So it depends on what the MVP voters value as. Like, do we value the rushing stats on the same scale as passing stats? How are they going to do it? But one thing I know for sure is that Hurts certainly closed the gap with that wild performance against the Tennessee Titans. Before this, I said that Mahomes is probably going to win it because I don't think Hurts will have the stats to contend. After last week, I think that gap is much, much closer.
Yeah, and my thing was, right, when we sit here and compare these quarterbacks, I always believed Jalen could climb up in the ranks of the NFL quarterbacks. I never thought he'd be here, obviously, rivaling those two guys that you named, who are definitely the two best in the league. The thing that would always hold him back, in my opinion, was the fact that he just doesn't have that natural talent that both Mahomes and Josh Allen have. Like, those guys are just like home run hitters of quarterbacks. And like, for Josh Allen's sake, he can do it throwing and running. And I think he's a different type of runner than Jalen Hurts. But here's the thing, though, man. And like, when you watch Mahomes and Josh Allen, they both like, they're always going to find a way to make the SportsCenter top 10 plays. You know what I mean? Just like magical plays, right? And like, Hurts may never necessarily be that type of player, but he's going to be far more efficient, as you just named, his lack of, you know, interceptions, his higher completion percentage. But here's the thing, though, man. I don't know. He's starting to make those crazy plays. Like, that throw to AJ Brown was literally perfect. Like, if he threw that ball any higher, it bounces off AJ Brown's shoulder pads or his helmet. Right. If he throws it any lower, it's not completed. It was literally a perfect pass. I don't think people realize how good of a pass that was. I've never seen that before.
That
it landed in the
absurd.
Perfect spot right here
absurd
between the
placement.
So,
and AJ helped him out with the late hands. He literally doesn't show his hands to the defender until the last possible second. As a defensive back, I don't know how you even guard that, because AJ Brown doesn't even show, he doesn't reveal what he's doing with his hands until the ball gets there. It is just crazy stuff from both of them.
So yeah, like, do you see what I'm trying to say here? Like, Hurts is doing pretty much everything. Like, he's making those highlight worthy plays Mm-hmm. And like, here's the thing, highlight worthy plays, that doesn't really win you the Super Bowl. Like, obviously in that case, like that play there to AJ Brown needed to happen. That pretty much put the game away for the Eagles.
Right.
But what's more important is what Jalen is doing. And in my opinion, and I think most people can agree with me, you don't even have to be an Eagles fan, is you can't point to one game this season where you could even make the argument that he played bad. I think he's been good in every single game.
What was his worst game? Like the Jacksonville game when the rain was coming down? Like that's probably his worst game of the year, right? If you had to pick one. Like that shows you that Even Jalen Hurts is at the point where now where you expect this performance. Is at the point now where even his average performances surpass what he was doing last year. His game, 15 for 25, 155 yards, 2 touchdowns against Dallas. That was his worst statistical game, and that was a game that they won, of course. So it's just it's
he ran for a lot in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, of course he did. Of course he did. And we're going to see a lot in this upcoming game against the Giants, because now he has to think, like, I want to avenge last year's Giants game where he threw those 3 picks and, you know, Jalen Reagan dropped the 2 balls. So Jalen Hurts probably has that on his mind. But it may be another big day for the receivers, because starting cornerback Adoree Jackson and starting safety Xavier McKinney are both injured coming into this game. I don't know what their availability is going to be yet, but they've both been banged up. So we'll keep an eye on that. So enough about Hurts for now. Switching over to the defensive side, because the defense has been as good as ever, and we've been giving Gannon a lot of flack and a lot of we want to see him be more aggressive, we want to see him do this. And I'll run through the stats that kind of disprove our negativity towards Jonathan Gannon. He's not perfect, obviously. There's still a lot of things that he needs to do. That's something that he'll probably do.
And he certainly benefits from the talent that he has.
Exactly. And that talent was responsible for holding Derrick Henry to just 30 yards last week, 2.7 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Now, Steven, coming into the game, Derrick Henry led the NFL in broken tackles, and he was second in the league in yards after contact with 563.
Wow. We watched
Damian Pierce and AJ Dillon run through his defense. So we were like, yo,
on paper of being that Commanders game all over again, where they just run the ball and our offense just sits on the sidelines the whole time.
Yeah, the Titans formula was like, we're going to be physical with this team, and the Eagles were literally more physical. Like they surpassed the physicality that the Titans brought. Derrick Henry was second in the league in yards after contact coming into this game, and the Eagles held him at bay. Now, obviously, when you get down, you have to throw the ball more, so that factors into it. But we were all screaming, like, thank goodness Jordan Davis comes back to help us stop this. Jordan Davis only played 6 snaps, so the scheme has a lot to do with it, and the Eagles really, really tightened up, and they're going to have to.
He only played
against
how many?
Saquon Barkley. Just 6 snaps. That's all he played.
What
was 6
the
snaps.
Heck?
Yeah, so it's not it wasn't even like it was the Jordan Davis effect, but he's still coming back from that high ankle sprain. They're gonna ease him back in there. Saquon Barkley coming up on Sunday, the 4th leading rusher, but he has slowed down in recent weeks, just 124 yards in the last 3 games, but can still get after it. He's a physical runner as well. Steven, how impressed have you been with this run defense that was getting bitched and thrown around for weeks and weeks? And then they've had encouraging performances against some of the top rushers, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry. How encouraged have you been with the way Jonathan Gannon has kind of captained this run defense so far?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much credit
you
really want to
give him. You got to say something good about him.
I feel like I complain about him a lot. It's just hard. It's just frustrating. And then, you know, you see a guy like Seth Joyner. Did you see his whole...
this is the slander pod, dude.
Yeah, I actually usually side with Seth Joyner. And I actually think he does have a point about the lack of aggression. You know what I mean? But
did you see when he asked, when was the last time the Eagles had an interception, when they literally had like two or three last week against the Eagles?
Yeah, see, like, yeah, I just think he has a point with the aggression thing. That's all. I mean, you know, he's obviously, I don't really know what he's thinking sometimes. We're 11-1, and the Eagles defense, I believe we still have the best pass defense in the NFL. For me, like, I will be very curious to see Gannon in big games. I want to see how he game plans in big games. You know, I don't know how many more we really have in the regular season. I mean, you can count this Giants one as one, certainly.
Giants is a big one.
It's a divisional opponent.
We'll see if Dallas on Christmas Eve counts for anything. If the Eagles clinch this weekend, we'll keep an eye on when the Eagles, like, wrap up the number one seed and all that. But, yeah.
That's all I care about. And then obviously, yeah, like playoffs, you know, that'll be what I'm curious to see. You know what I mean? Like maybe he's not showing his cards. Maybe he has cards he hasn't been able to use yet because of, you know, Jordan Davis being out. People forget Avante Maddox has been out for a while. That can't, mm-hmm. you can't discredit that. They're without Chauncey now, you know, for quite some time. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's all about, like, they got to find a way to get that number one seed and preserve health. In my eyes, you want to go into the postseason healthy. Luckily, we have a lot of depth. So if injuries do happen, you know, we'll be okay. Get Goddard back on the other end, too, obviously, on offense. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, Avante Maddox just had his 21-day window activated. So he's eligible to come off IR. He's practicing today. So hopefully he will be able to play this Sunday. He's been a vital piece. But the Eagles defense has held their own. In his absence, these are the ranks through 12 weeks of the season for the Eagles defense. Turnover differential plus 13. That's first in the NFL. 178.5 passing yards per game allowed. That's first in the league. 296.4 total yards per game allowed. Good for second in the league. 42 sacks. Remember last year they were third to last, and that was only 29 sacks last year, I believe. They have 42 wow. this year through 12 weeks. Second in the NFL.
Wow.
They allow just 18.8 points per game allowed, tied for seventh in the NFL. So this unit, top 10 across the board, arguably top five.
Damn, maybe we're Darius taking Slay. It for granted.
Yeah, that's awesome. Once you look at the numbers, once you look at the numbers and we're like, oh man. But Slay and Bradbury have a lot to do with it. Against the Titans, they were just targeted four times. They allowed zero catches for 0 yards and had two passes defended. And Bradbury... Revenge game against the Giants, you think? Are we coming off the A.J. Brown one, maybe James Bradbury? Man,
you would think.
Isn't happy about the way they kind of tossed him aside. He was a cap casualty. They didn't want to pay him his contract. They cut him. And mind you, cut him in June when everyone else's rosters are, you know, pretty much set. They're ready for training camp. Bradbury caught on with the Eagles on his one-year deal. I'm sure he'll get the bag next season because he's been outstanding. So that'd be something to watch as well. Couple young guys I want to highlight. Reed Blankenship, you mentioned CJ, yep. who's gone until the Saints game if they choose to play him. He's gone for the next few weeks with that lacerated kidney after that big hit he put on Christian Watson. He was kind of stunned and went down. But Reed Blankenship, since taking over, has been pretty nice. 9 tackles, 2 passes defended. I've obviously had the one interception on Aaron Rodgers. Almost had another one.
The complete opposite of Nathan Gary.
The complete opposite of Kayvon Wallace, which is the safety we were going to have to watch.
I'm just, I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? Like
You're saying they're both white.
Well, that's a good analysis you just made there. No, I'm just saying a guy who, you know, we thought were practice squad players, he came in and just like, he's going out there and making plays.
Right.
Remember he's Nate not Gary's just like... thing was like, he was just late, guaranteed 100% of the time he was going to be late to the play. And there's people defending him. Oh, he leads the team in, you know, tackles or whatever.
Hey, that was Singleton. Get your white guys figured out over there. Get all your white players figured out. But Reed Blankenship, it's not like he didn't have experience. He played 5 years in Middle Tennessee. 5 years. So that's a lot of experience. He flashed in preseason, so I knew he had the physical.
My man picked off Aaron Rodgers, dude.
Picked off Aaron Rodgers. First pick. Slay was pissed about it. Slay was upset. I've been in the league 10 years, and I can't get a pick.
Wasn't he in that division?
Yeah, and he was in the division all that time. Holy shit, wasn't able to get a pick. And Reed Blankenship, bang, gets one. Josiah Scott had one too. That was his first pick of his career. And Slay is like, damn, I really can't get one. But I've been very impressed with Reed Blankenship. I'm glad he's been able to step in and make some plays as well. Another rookie I want to highlight. Man, that only played 15 snaps when Kaiser White came in, but boy, did he make the most of them. Nakobe Dean, everybody's been screaming. I know our linebackers have been great. I know that Edwards and Kaiser are playing at a high level, but I want to see me some Nakobe Dean, and you got to see some on Sunday. 6 tackles, led the team in those 15 snaps. 1 tackle for loss, a very nice tackle that he was able to get in the backfield for. He hit that hole harder than the running back. He read that play phenomenally. And I think he showed very, very good processing, reaction time, really good sideline-to-sideline speed he had on a tackle that he put on Jeff Swaim. He was able to put him down. And he tackled Derrick Henry with one arm while being held. Like the play got called back, but he was being held, and he grabbed Derrick Henry with one arm and took him down. For a guy that scouts and all this said that he's too undersized, he's not physical enough, blah, 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 he showed a lot. I know it's just a 15-snap sample size, but this is stuff that we already knew about Nakobe Dean, especially us who scouted him to no end last draft season. Were you impressed with what you saw from the former Georgia Bulldog?
So a couple of things. One, I think it's been awesome that he's been able to actually sit. Like at first, I was
sit and learn,
of,
right?
Sit and learn. At first, I was kind of like pissed off. I knew Kaiser White was a big addition, but I was hoping maybe, N'Kobe Dean could rival the other guys for some more snaps in the rotation. But yeah, it's been a great thing that he's just been able to sit back and learn the NFL, the game speed and stuff like that. But obviously, really the best way to learn is to get out there and play, which he got the opportunity to do so. But I have a comparison for you.
Oh man, you and your comparisons are always something. let's go.
You mentioned his lack of size. Like, boy, you really notice it when he's out there. Like, geez, he's small, isn't he? Like, he's for a linebacker. And maybe it doesn't help that, like, Derrick Henry, what is he, 6'5"? The guy's like 6'4".
6'5", 250. Yeah.
So, like, that probably doesn't help. But he does look small out there. I'm not using it against him. To me, he's like Devontae Smith, dude. Everybody tried saying the same things about him. He's just a baller, dude. Like, he just finds a way to make plays. It is what it is. Like, he's not going to use his size against them, whatever. You mentioned instincts. I see Devontae has the same thing. Like, he just has a knack for getting open. Like, really quickly, like, how many times now have you seen, like, the Eagles will run a screen pass with Devontae, and I'm like, oh, God, he's about to get lit up. And he just finds a way to, like, get through, break tackles for some reason. The guy's...
It pays off to be slim, man, to weave through tackles and be as fast as he is.
It pays to just be a baller, man. They're ballers. I love both of them. Fantastic additions. And, like, that's the thing with this team, man. Like, I had tweeted something about this the other day. I was mainly giving credit to Jalen Hurts, but, in the NFL, the conversation tends to be about the quarterback. But, like, the culture here is just fantastic. I mean, you just look at so many players on this team, and I don't know any of them personally, obviously, but, like, they just seem like great people, hard workers, and they put the team first, and they're all hungry to get better. You know, and
even the new additions, like when they brought in Sue and Linval Joseph and the way they were just able to get acclimated and welcomed in and didn't miss a beat. Like they played like 3-4 days after they were signed and they came in. And that to your point, that's a testament to how Sirianni runs his team, how a well-oiled machine it is, and how, you know, you don't see nobody's disgruntled. There's no tension that we know about anyway. About any of this, and nobody, it's not a lot of spotlights. Everybody was like, AJ's going to be pissed if Jalen Hurts is running QB power 12 times a game, and nobody wants to block when your QB runs all the time and this and that. Smitty's a willing blocker. I hear Devontae say, we're going to go out and we're going to block and we're going to be happy about it. And they throw, AJ's never complaining. The games that Devontae goes off, AJ's happy about it, and vice versa. On the games that Dallas Goedert goes off, the receivers aren't complaining. Even Zach Pascal, who has a very limited role in this offense, even you don't see him complaining. And Quez Watkins, who waited his, you know, he was patient. Yeah. Dallas Goedert went down and it was his turn to step up. And he's been good these last few weeks. I think that everybody, there's no selfishness on this team, and Sirianni deserves a lot of credit for that. What's his record been since he's been here? I think it's been pretty good. And actually, Jalen Hurts, since week seven, or no, since week, I forget what the stat is. Since week, I gotta find it. There's a stat how he has basically been winning since week 10 of last season. Since week 10 of 2021, Jalen Hurts leads all NFL quarterbacks in winning percentage at 16-2. 16-2 since week 10 of last season. That's wild. All he does is literally win games, and that should be the case when they go ahead and play the Giants. They got three straight road games. Now, Steven, if I were to ask you who the Giants' leading receiver is this season, who'd you say?
I have no clue. I can't just figure guess, that just team
guess,
out.
Just a guess. Who's their leading receiver? Do you even know their receivers?
There's an obvious answer, but it's not going to be him. I bet you it's their tight end.
I'm just looking at receivers right now, but I don't think receiver. It's their tight end. Yeah. Can you even think of any names? Just shoot me a name, and I'll tell you if he's even on this list.
Sterling Shepard?
Yeah, he's on the list, but he got hurt, unfortunately. So Darius Slayton is the leading receiver right now, 566 yards. Richie James behind him, 300 yards. Wandale Robinson, 227 yards. Sterling Shepard, Isaiah Hodgins, David Sills, rounded out.
They're just a weird team, man. I've watched some
of
their games.
They ride Saquon and Daniel Jones. They ride Saquon and Daniel Jones. Yeah, well, I mean, that's what they have to do. Daniel Jones is still running the ball. He had 70 yards 1 week, so Daniel Jones is still, you know,
never forget the 70-80 yard run he had on us.
Yeah, the one that he fell on, right? The one that he fell on, yeah. So that's something we're going to have to watch out for as well. Last week against Washington, in that draw, they had a draw, mind you, last week.
Taylor Heinicken, bro, why are we celebrating a draw? Yeah, I hate him, dude. Can I just get that off my chest? I hate that guy. Celebrated a flop penalty to win a game. It's not like he went out there and won the game. We beat ourselves that game. And then he celebrated a draw. Taylor Heinicken, you are a loser.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. He's like that guy that just looks like, he's that try-hard guy that just like never does great, but he's always celebrating like he, ever since that. They put a that Eagles-Washington game put a bad taste in my mouth about
I want them again.
About him. So we'll definitely deal with that. One last topic I wanted to hit on before we wrap this up is one Odell Beckham Jr. So the media tour, first of all, they're treating this like it's 2010, like LeBron James, the decision. Like, this is how they're treating this. Like, I'm taking my talents to wherever. Like,
wonder it's OBJ. Why that is. Why do you think that
it's
is?
It's somebody that's going to give you 40 yards a game, if healthy. Like, it's he's a phenomenal receiver. I get this. But they're treating this media tour like I don't know what. And the teams that he visited, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Bills, Dallas was the presumed favorite landing spot. He went on this whole thing with Trayvon Diggs and Micah Parsons going to the game, I think it was the Mavericks game or wherever they were at, and doing all this. And then here comes Dallas saying, we are not confident in his physical. We don't think that he can contribute this season. And obviously they want a player to help with the playoff push this year. They want to try and win a playoff game, you know, something they're not able to do. And they crumble all the time in December. So now the rumors come out from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk that watch out for the Eagles in regards to OBJ. Now, I don't know why the Eagles would do it. I don't know why OBJ would come here, because obviously the wide receiver room is set in stone with AJ and Devontae as the top pass catchers. So why OBJ would even make sense in this rotation wouldn't even make sense when you still have Quez and Pascal and guys that give you something, guys that have been here all year and guys that can for sure help contribute as you try to claim that second Super Bowl title. So, Steven, what do you make of just the whole OBJ saga, how it's being handled, his media tour, Jerry basically going out and saying, nah, fuck that, his knees sucks, don't sign this man. Is it smoking mirrors? Is it Jerry trying to play like mind tricks and eventually sign him? Or do you think the Eagles are remotely interested at all? What do you make of the whole ordeal altogether?
Well, consider yourselves lucky if you're still listening to this podcast episode, because I am about to give you some free content, an exclusive teaser at something that has already been published on the YouTube channel, which is monetized, which, you know, I should be just telling you guys to go there, and I shouldn't even be giving my opinion.
Why'd you say it's monetized? Like people care?
Because I should be getting monetized for, I mean, I'm about to repeat what has already been established and recorded, but I'll just do it again because I'm a generous person. It is Christmas. It is the holidays. So Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. I think everybody is missing the point here. Jerry Jones and this whole situation with Odell, like you just mentioned, making a big fuss about this, or making a big deal, I should say. This is a media plant. This is a media plant by Jerry Jones. I think he has
Do tell.
I think he has been a Dallas Cowboy for quite some time. I think Jerry is pulling some strings behind the scenes, and I think he is learning the playbook behind the scenes. I think he is getting healthy behind the scenes. I think he is building relationships with Cowboys players behind the scenes, and obviously you saw him at that basketball game. That was just a teaser. And ultimately, I think he's going to be on the Dallas Cowboys roster just in time for the postseason, because Jerry Jones is
It's a smoke screen, is what you're saying.
Yes, it is a media plant by Jerry Jones so that people will I don't know why we'd be interested. Why? Whatever.
Well, every team conducts their own physical, so why does Jerry have to red flag him? Like, I don't like the way the Cowboys went about it.
I don't either. Guys, open your eyes to this, man. Like, just think a healthy Odell Beckham Jr. in the playoffs on that team, because you don't trust Dak Prescott in big games. You don't trust that organization in big games. He can help them. He can help them. I don't care what you say about his health, about him as a person.
I think so, too. OBJ on Dallas would be an addition.
To me, this is what's happening, all right? He is already a Cowboys player. It is not a matter of if. It is a matter of when the NFL announces it. And he is going – look. They're going to do everything they can to make sure he plays minimal NFL games, NFL snaps before the postseason. This is a media plan.
You think the Dallas Cowboys don't want to see OBJ play at all until the postseason?
No, I think he will play before the postseason, but the reason it's not happening now is because it's too long. He just can't stay healthy that long. He's never stayed healthy that long. But he is indeed in that building, I guarantee it, learning the playbook. So,
oh, I see. So he's just
shout out to all the people that aren't seeing through the bullshit, because I sure as hell am.
The official report says the Dallas Cowboys have concerns after Odell Beckham Jr.'s physical that his recovery from a torn left ACL in the Super Bowl has not progressed enough to ensure he would play before mid-January. So in your mind that they're going to have him learn the playbook, sign him in mid-January.
Oh, he knows it already.
Have him contribute. Yeah, it's wild, though. I was never a fan of the theatrics of it all. Like, all of it's annoying. Like, just sign them in and move on.
It's the Cowboys. Why is it all, dude? It's a match made in heaven. He's going there. He is going there, man. Trust me.
Why is it all this?
He is not going to go back to the Giants. They have no shot in hell of winning. Daniel Jones is their quarterback.
Yeah.
The Bills never made sense, really. But yeah, it's terrible weather.
Yeah, but they have Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Isaiah McKenzie, who's breaking out. Like, they don't need him either. So Dallas always made the most sense. It's just when they came out and red flagged him, I was like, why? They kind of did Odell dirty,
man.
Like,
this is his last.
And then Dallas fans are out here like, OBJ wasted our time. Like, what do you mean? OBJ didn't come. Like, you had interest in Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham didn't come kicking your door down and say, hey, fucking sign me. Like, he just wants to play for a contender.
Yep.
I just don't think the Eagles are one of those contenders that makes sense. But appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod. Be sure to subscribe and rate 5 stars. Leave those reviews if you enjoy the show. Go ahead, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere else you can find your podcast. Be sure to do that. Help us move up the charts as the top rated Eagles podcast. You guys have been showing great support. As always, be sure to visit thelibertyline.com, where all of my Eagles coverage is. They also cover, we have many people that cover all 5 major sports of Philadelphia: Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, Union, as well as your Philadelphia Phillies, who is now home of star shortstop Trey Turner. Steven, where can the people find you? What you got cooking up on the YouTube channel, Liberty Line, whatever else is happening? Let the people know where they can find you so they can all complain about Glenn Rivers with you.
Again, I don't complain. I just state facts.
Or Daryl Morey. Hey, Cam Reddish still on the trade block yet again. And what's Daryl Morey going to do? What's Daryl Morey going to do? Nothing.
Now, you're giving me content ideas. I'll touch on all that stuff. I don't want
to
give any
more. You know what my problem is? The Eagles don't have – the Sixers don't have a sniper. Like, if you look at every NBA roster, like, at least one team –
they got a lot more problems than that, man.
Has a sniper, like a just state guy that can give you a three. Like, who is that for these Sixers right now? Who is that?
Tyrese Maxey.
It's supposed to be P.J. Tucker. Yeah, Tyrese, that's a problem. It's Tyrese Maxey. Hey, we thought P.J. could give us a three here.
They got
there.
A lot
this
more problems than that, man. They got a lot more problems than that. Yeah, I don't even want to get into it.
Go ahead. Plug yourself.
Yeah, man, just Stephen Conrad Jr. on all socials, primarily TikTok and the YouTube channel is the Liberty Line YouTube channel. To make a super long story short, we are trying to change the way we talk about sports. So, I gave a sneak peek of that on my little spill about what Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are doing. Definitely check that out. And, hopefully Vic will make his return to the content over there as well.
Woke,
since I kindly
woke
took
not
my
accurate
time.
Takes.
No, I don't use that word anymore. I don't use woke. I don't like that word.
Yeah. Especially now with the whole Brittany Griner stuff going on. You don't want to be woke today. Today's not a good day.
Yeah.
Today's not a good day.
I found out that's actually a bad word. I thought it was a word I could use to make myself.
Yeah, no, woke. Yeah. No, woke is not a good word.
Everything's got a negative like connotation
to
it now.
Connotation,
you can't do anything.
I mean, you can't be woke. You can't be nothing. It's over. Be sure to follow me on all social platforms at the Philly Pod, Twitter, Facebook, not Facebook. I mean, you could, but you know, nobody cares about that. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, over at the Philly Pod to find videos, you know, graphics, all that fun stuff to keep up with everything that's going on with your Philadelphia Eagles. We will catch up with you guys next week following hopefully what will be another win in the Eagles being 12-0 and officially clinching a playoff berth as the Eagles aim for that number one seed and home field advantage, because nothing's better than the playoffs having to come through Philadelphia. Thank you guys for checking it out. Catch you guys next week. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.